Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming at you from the bunker on episode number 97 of the program. Recognizing famous number 97s, they include Connor McDavid, John Chick, Doug Brown for Winnipeg Blue Bomber fame, and Jeremy Roenick. You can chime in with yours on the Facebook wall or the Prairie Mobile text line. It's the second seeding of the program today here in Hour 2. We welcome in Don Hewitt from CTV Regina. How you doing, Donnie?
I'm very poor because I have Patrick Mahomes on my fantasy team, so I'm completely screwed.
I just got a notification from Bleacher Report. Patrick Mahomes did not suffer significant additional damage after dislocating his kneecap. He will be back. That, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network.
3 weeks?
That doesn't say a timeline, but just patience, grasshopper. And John Frenzy is here too, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. I was told by Clark to get a quick intro of Donnie and then get out on the video chat, because we've got Canadian Football Hall of Famer Dave Ridgway, the hero of the 1989 Grey Cup, joining us from his home in South Indiana today. And happy Friday, Dave. Welcome to Football Friday. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Ryan. It's great to be talking with you. It's good to see John. It's good to see Don and Clark. You've been most gracious trying to set this up. I appreciate that. You guys are fired up today.
You noticed.
For Friday, that's, you know, I mean, you guys really are fired up. So that's a good thing if you can keep that energy up all week and then redo it the fall.
That's what we do. Suppose. That's what we do, Dave. And so then you're firing right in line here. So Normie Fong wrote in. He's watching the show and he agrees. Because people said about Darian Durant having his number 4 retired, and I said, not only do I not think that should happen, I think all the numbers should be unretired, put back in the rotation, and the guys' names put up on the wall, Ring of Honor. Now, you're one of them, so I hope you're not offended. What does it mean?
Look, I mean, I didn't ask for my number to be retired.
But yeah.
I will tell you that it probably, for me, it ranks above the Hall of Fame induction, and that's the truth, and I've said that several times, and it's because of it being retired by that team, by the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Oh, well, they're not going back now, but I think what should mean even more to you is I think the team's drawn a line in the sand and said, we're not retiring anymore, because numbers, because Makowski, obviously, your teammates, Narco Elgard, they could retire, and I think they just said, we've done enough here.
No, I absolutely agree. You know, Ray Elgard, Bobby Jurison, there are, I can think of a half a dozen or more guys that probably are deserving or more deserving certainly than me. When they make a decision, obviously it's made as a corporate decision. You know, I don't know what they can do. And like you said, it's not like they're going to go back on it right now. But it is still extremely flattering. And I don't know what my old friend Normie said and about retiring Darian's number, but certainly Darian is worthy of that honor as well.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Now, I don't know if I've ever asked you this. I know I've asked you, do you ever get tired of talking about the kick? And you say no, and nor should you. So I'm not going to ask you again. But you made Liverpool, England famous. You and a little musical group out of there. How did you get to the Canadian Football League from Liverpool, England?
Well, actually, I grew up outside of Manchester, a little town called Stockport. My parents, back in the early 70s, divorced. And at that time, I mean, there were 4 children. And, you know, it was one of those situations where 2 went with my mother, 2 went with my father. My father moved over to Canada in 1974. And so from there, from 1974, I guess I had my 16th birthday in Canada. And I really started playing football for the first time in high school. And I came into the game late. So the natural transition out of soccer for me was to kicking a football. And at that time, I had a very strong leg, but couldn't always kick it very straight. However, there was some patience with me in high school. Had similar patients in the Mid-American Conference at the University of Toledo, where I was lucky enough to play for 4 years. My draft year was 91. I was drafted to Montreal, and that was, I'm sure you remember the years. Vince Ferragamo was there, Billy White, Hugh Johnson, David Overstreet, Tom Cousineau, lots of NFL luminaries that were in the camp that year when Nelson Scalbano owned the team. I didn't make it. The next year, I got an offer to go to a place called Saskatchewan. And after that, you know, I really never looked back. So it was kind of a quick journey from my time in Britain to my time in Saskatchewan.
Dave John Lynch here. Great to see you, buddy. I've always thought you're one of my big favorite Rough Riders, all-time favorites. Listen, do you follow the team right now this year? Well, you know what's going on here? We got a big game tonight?
I do. I absolutely follow the team. I have back in the U.S. I'm absolutely thrilled with the production that they're getting. That young guy, Fajardo, he certainly looks like the future for the football team, and that's very, very exciting. I'm going to tell you, you've got a hell of a kicker there in that kid, Lawther. You've got the beautiful state, which I'm extremely jealous of. I was lucky to be invited back up a couple of years ago for the christening of the new stadium on Canada Day, and it was really a delight for me being able to be back up there. I was lucky enough to spend plus years in the province, and it's very home.
I was going to say, Dave, it's Don here, your old buddy from way back when.
Don, how are you?
Good. You know, it's interesting. The Rough Riders won two great cups after 89, you know, 2007, 2013. And yet, nothing from those two great cup victories in the public eye has topped your kick in 89.
It's not really, yet, anyways.
It's really amazing. They've won two cups since then, and your kick in 89 is still the most talked about great cup sort of play, really, in their, I would say, in their team's history. Still.
Yeah.
Still.
Greatest great cup ever. As far as the opponents are concerned.
Yeah, it's extremely flattering. I've said many, many times, I mean, it's hard to believe that this is the anniversary of our celebrating the Grey Cup win in 1989. You can see my hair. My hair's gone white. I saw the pictures of the reunion from last month, and some of the guys have no hair. So a lot of time has passed. A lot of time has passed, and I will tell you that, if somebody had told me first after my playing days ended, or even 10 years after my playing days had ended, that my name would come up periodically, I would have probably, poo-pawed whatever. But it's very nice to be remembered. It's extremely flattering. But out of that, you have to attribute to the fans, and Don, that's to your point, to attribute a lot of that to the fans of that football team and how loyal they are. I always worry about what happens in the East as far as the health of the Canadian Football League. I don't worry so much in the West. And certainly the Saskatchewan program is the shining beacon. I know Winnipeg fans will argue that. Hamilton fans may argue that with the year they're having this year. But Saskatchewan certainly is the franchise in the Canadian Football League. So it's great to be remembered. And that was a great game. You know, there were a lot of people on the field that day that, let's face it, Ken Austin will be in the Canadian Football League. He's famous as well at this point. There are other guys that I think we had a pretty good football team, and we faced a really good football team in Hamilton that year that it beat twice. So it ended up being a barn burner, and probably that's why I have the white hair today, not the fact that I'm 60 now.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, we're going to let you go. There's a slight connection problem there, but you look fantastic. Sorry we missed you last month, but you know that you're always welcome here anytime, and there will be more reunions, and I know you'll still be kicking, literally and figuratively, and we'll see you then. But thanks for coming on this morning.
Hopefully. Hey, thanks a lot, Rod. You guys take care and enjoy the rest of the season.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, and we will be. I mean, we're all not, yeah, maybe shocked would be the proper word to say with the Rough Riders at 10 and 5 like they are, and the opportunity to win 13 games, guys, is shocking to me. The next time we have Dave on, and maybe we can bring him in the bunker, I would like to ask him about them moving converts out to the 32-yard line and his thoughts on that. I don't know how much that would have changed his career, Mark, because he was just so good. There's a reason they called him Robo-Kicker, right? And I think you got to be an ardent CFL fan. Just one last thing on Ridge. To realize how windy it is here. So for him to be atop the record book in the CFL like he is, with the windy conditions here, means even more. Imagine if he kicked in a dome for half his career like McCallum or some of these guys.
You make a great point, because you saw in the last Rider home game how the new stadium is cutting down the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the little flags at the top of the posts were barely moving, and you went outside walking to or from the stadium, and it was like really windy. And of course, in the old stadium, that wasn't blocked at all. It was wide open from the northeast. And so, yeah, Dave made it. He made some great kicks with crazy wind conditions for sure.
I'm sure everybody would agree he's the greatest place kicker we ever had.
Well, that's a no doubter.
Oh yeah, that's
to quote Henry Burris. Yeah. That's a no brainer.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting he says that about Brett Lawther, though, because again, I was doing the numbers going into tonight's game. He's ninth in the CFL in field goal percentage. He missed one last week in Calgary, Brett Lawther, and there's no bigger fan of him than me, other than maybe his own family. But Lawther at 82.8% is not the numbers that they'd like.
Right. I mean, it was a sort of long field goal attempt in Calgary that he missed. But yeah, he's, I think Kaprinya in Toronto has got a better percentage. They cut Kaprinya for Lawther.
We have to be honest. CFL has some real good place kickers.
Yeah, they do.
And the NFL doesn't. I notice the NFL, the guys are missing the
They're taking ours.
Field goal all the time.
But I don't want to talk about it because I don't want Lawther to put any more pressure on himself than he probably is, because it's such a head game, you know, place kicking, and we just want to say we believe in you and you're going to make the big kick. Leave it at that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't have a lot of time for that. What people are saying on the shows, on the blogs, should not affect what's going on the field. And
well,
so
that's right.
If you don't want to talk about it, don't. But we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because that's their job, is to go out and make kicks and throw touchdowns and catch touchdowns and make sacks. I'm sorry.
Well, you're right. You're right. It's just I'm wrong, but I'll just stay wrong. And you do the right thing because you're correct.
Well, it doesn't bother Lynch to be on him, right, John?
Right.
Which, by the way, I was thinking of you the other day. You were so geeked up a week ago going into the Calgary-Saskatchewan game, right? We were fighting over what it meant to be in first place in October, which it doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
And Lynch is like, this is the biggest game. And then they lost. I almost called you the next morning to see if your heart was still ticking, if you were still alive. How did you handle that loss in Calgary?
Went for a long walk, a couple of long walks, and couldn't come in the house, of course. Wife wouldn't let me. Tried to control myself. Took me 2 days to get over it because I think it is a big game. And I think they lost a big game when somebody says they only lost by 2 points. They still lost. Like, you get that Saskatchewan feeling creeping in there. Hey, it was a good game, good enough to only lose by 2 points to Calgary. Calgary's a big team. It's okay, John. It was a good game. You shouldn't be upset about it. And that's why the Riders have won 4 Grey Cups. You know my philosophy in that thinking that. I think they should have won the game. They should have, with 2 minutes and 19 seconds left after they scored a touchdown, I thought they'd go for the short kick. Didn't you, Don?
Yeah, I did. I don't think you should put the game in Bo Levi Mitchell's hands, and that was the error. By the book, Craig, you know, you went by the book a little over 2 minutes to go. You do kick it down, but this sometimes you have to break the book. The book isn't correct. This happened before. I think it was Montreal against Calgary where they put the ball in Bo's hands to win it out, and of course he did. And the fact is, there was nothing that I saw that would lead me to believe that the Rough Rider defense could stop Bo with 2 minutes to go, because they really weren't stopping him the whole game. So I don't know what the odds are in a short kick. Is it 20%? I don't know, Rod. Maybe you know what the odds are in a short kick.
I don't.
I would have put the game on the line with whatever those odds are and not kick it back to Bo. That was a mistake. But again, Coach Craig went by the book. Sometimes you throw the book out the window.
That's what Hobson did, you know. And when he talked to me in 2005, my first meeting with him at the Saskatchewan Hotel, he said, "The book's gone, Lynch." He took a book, I don't know if it was the owner of some other Saskatchewan hotel or not, and threw it across the floor. And he said, that's the excuse book. I don't have an excuse book.
And he why he was in great cups. I mean, the fact is, if that game was 20 below in wind or something, then maybe you do kick it down to bowl and you're stopping him throughout the game. But that wasn't the case.
I know a guy that might know. George Cortez, if you're listening in Houston right now and our analytics tell us that you are, can you please look up on that little book that you have? Because he's got a book on all these stats and figures and things.
Yeah, that's cool.
What the percentage is of successful recoveries of onside kicks. That's what you're saying? Because it was George that told me that if you give up a sack on any given drive, anywhere on the field, your chances of scoring a touchdown on that drive are 3%. So if you give up a sack, you might as well punt.
Interesting.
Anytime.
On that particular drive.
On anywhere on the field, on any drive, you give up a sack, your chances of scoring a touchdown are 3%.
That's crazy.
So
I believe it.
We'll be back. Of course, it is a big night in the CFL. Friday night football. It's a doubleheader beginning with the Argos at the Alouettes, followed by the Riders at the Lions. And, of course, a doubleheader tomorrow again. And I really like that. It's the Stampeders, home to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Canada's game of the week. And Ottawa at Hamilton coming up later on in this hour, too. We'll be joined by Brian Warishin, I believe is how he says it. And he's from the BC Lions Den podcast. We'll be previewing the game. Hang on. Back with more with Donnie and John in a moment. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Everybody on this Friday morning, Football Friday as we call it on the Rod Peterson Show, checking the sports update this morning for Ballers Rec Room. Victor Melee and Nick Suzuki each scored their first NHL goals last night to lead the Montreal Canadiens to a convincing 4-0 victory over the Minnesota Wild.
And it's love to see Mete score because he didn't score all of last season. He's such a splendid little hockey player, and he got a goal. Spectacular for Canadiens fans.
Everybody beats Minnesota, though, by the way. You know that, right?
True enough.
Okay. Also last night, Mark Giordano had a goal and a helper to lead the Calgary Flames to a 5-1 victory over the Detroit Red Wings. The Flames fans have chimed in, letting us know that Milan Lucic had one assist in the game. So just putting him on the board there.
Did it bounce off a shin pad? Oh, never.
They all count. Josh Levo scored the lone shootout goal in the sixth as the Canucks beat the in the sixth round as the Vancouver Canucks beat the Blues 4-3 last night in Vegas, down the visiting Ottawa Senators 3-2 in a shootout. There are six games around the NHL tonight, but only one features a Canadian club. Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, the NHL's number one team, I might remind you, can maintain their hot start as they host the Detroit Red Wings. Oilers 6-1-0, sitting atop the Western Conference. The Saskatchewan Roughriders visiting the BC Lions tonight, hoping to stay in contention for first in the CFL West. The Edmonton Eskimos sitting at 8-8. The reason I bring that up, I got things blinking all over me here. Riders currently tied with the Calgary Stampeders with identical 10-5 records, while the Blue Bombers have played one additional game. They're 10-6. Eskimos sit fourth at 8-8. Earlier tonight, the Argos are in Montreal. Justin Verlander gets the start tonight as the Houston Astros try to polish off the New York Yankees to advance to the World Series. New York will counter with Canadian James Paxton. Houston leads the American League Championship Series 3-1 after George Springer and Carlos Correa each hit three-run homers, and the Astros beat the Yankees 8-3 last night. So there is your Friday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Who is writing me this? This, what does first place in October get you, Rod? Why would you ask me that? It's the NHL. It's different than football, buddy. From the Leafs fan that's all butthurt over here that they got spanked by Washington the other night. We're going to go back and forth on this all year, I can tell. Chad McKnight writes in on the short kick topic.
Oh, look at what Nelson says.
He's well, first, it's Chad's comment. So if they go for a short kick and don't recover it, well, then everyone would say, why not kick it deep? You can play the hindsight game for hours. Doesn't change what happened. Thank you for that, Chad. But football is the ultimate hindsight game, more than any other sport. Well, I think it's because it's a play-by-play basis.
Just so Chad knows, I was screaming for him to short kick live and in person. It wasn't really hindsight. You can't short kick it. I mean, you have to short kick it here. You can't kick it the ball. He kicked it the ball. Game over. Really.
You're right. Nelson, writing in from Phoenix. He says the success rate on onside kicks is about 8 to 12%. And I'd love to know where he looked up that stat. Does it make a difference between American football and Canadian football? Because all those American numbers are online. They're easy to find.
No.
And would there be much difference between Canadian football and American football?
The field is bigger here. It's hard to say for more gaps and spaces. It's hard to say.
Well, not to mention they're usually kicking it outside the numbers, so it's a further kick than American football is all that I'm saying. But 8 to 12% works for me.
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, I think it's more right too. But there's been more short kickoffs this year than ever before. Eh? It's unbelievable.
And the Stamps pulled off a long short kick against the Riders.
Yeah.
What did you think about that, by the way?
I thought it was a hell of a good play by Calgary. Really. And a great kick, and just put it right where he wanted it, got the bounce that he wanted, and it was a great play by Calgary, really. And, you know, I mean, Thigpen, yeah, he stuck out his arm. That's hindsight, but he was trying his best, but the kick was just perfect, and, yeah, it was a great play.
Don't you get sick of the Stampeders with 15 newcomers this year coming in there and still beating us?
Well, here's the deal. The Riders like veterans, and I understand that. The Stampeders put in a bunch of friggin' kids in that secondary against Saskatchewan. Two of their best defensive backs, arguably their two best perhaps, are out. And these youngsters man up Saskatchewan's receivers so well and aren't making mental errors. And yet they're young. They always are young. They always have young speed in Calgary. And I hope this, you know, doesn't bite us. Because yesterday Coach Craig said, I like a veteran that knows where he's going because he may not be as fast, but because his decision-making process is faster, he will be faster on the field than perhaps another player that is going to have a sort of a hesitation, but is actually faster. But how does Calgary get these young guys performing like they do and they don't make the mental errors?
How do they get that?
There's the question.
How do they get Hunchak, the last player taken in the draft?
Because they're good at what they do. At some point, people need to realize the Stampeders aren't operating on luck.
No, they're not.
When are people going to get
very big in this?
I know, but you act like you think drafting Hunchak and him turning out is luck.
This boggles me. It's mind-boggling to me.
No, they're just
it doesn't
good.
Make sense. He catches five passes, one touchdown, looks great playing wide receiver. They're good. Last guy drafted. Now, come on. How does that work out?
Because they know what they're doing.
He's the best GM in the league.
Yes, he is.
There's no
question about it,
John Hofnagel. We've had, I believe, a big upgrade with Jeremy O'Day, and I really like all the things I just said. I still really like the people running the Rough Riders right now. They've, like Rod said a little while ago, who would have believed we'd be where we are right now? No. I wouldn't have. Last May, when they were in training camp, they've done a fantastic job. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, by the way, John Van Leeuwen, watching from Kingston, Ontario this morning, says, is there an update on the new ownership in Montreal with the Alouettes? That's the second time I think John has asked this week. John, great. You'll know when we know.
Yeah, great cup week. They're not going to do
Yeah, they're, well, season. They don't make announcements on other teams on Great Cup Week. There's a moratorium. No. Actually, as a matter of fact, if you follow any coverage from 3downnation.com, we are, I think, a week to 10 days, 2 weeks max, before the sale is finalized to the Lenkov brothers. And I know nobody knows who they are, but it doesn't matter. They're two original Quebec guys. I think one now lives in New York, and the other lives in L.A. One's a lawyer, a sports and entertainment lawyer. They have the dough. They've been in Montreal extensively. They've been in the facility. They've been at games. We're told that the sale is about to go through to the Lenkov brothers. And when it goes through, you'll find out. But I think that's the second time I've updated that this week, is that it's going to the Lenkov brothers. Now, to the poll, the daily poll for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, it is, who should have been fined for comments critical of CFL officials? Bo Levi Mitchell, Ed Gainey, both, or neither? That's the poll question today. 42% of you say they both should have been fined. 42% of you say just Bo Levi should have been fined. 14% say neither should have been fined. And 2% say Ed Gainey. And you have thoughts on that. That we were talking about in the break. I'll let you get to it now.
I don't get why Bo wasn't fined. I have no idea why he wasn't fined with that rant at halftime. Like, there is no possibility he wouldn't have been fined in the NFL. They would have fined him immediately. I don't even know what Ed Gainey said, so I can't even comment on that.
I can tell you what he said.
What did he say?
It was in review. Who was the receiver? Eric Rogers, I think, fumbled it, John?
Yep.
And I think they ruled it a fumble. Riders recovered it, and then it went to review. And in the review, in the delay while they're looking, the camera's right in Ed Gainey's face, and he's like, come on, don't you all be cheating us out of that crap.
He did.
Right, so he's basically telling the review officials, while they're reviewing it, don't cheat us. You can't all cheat us out of that,
I don't think
what
that's
he said.
As bad as what Bo did.
They're both bad.
Bo was worse. I'll say it's
worse. Yeah, because, like, man, you got to take your green goggles off, man. I mean, I thought I was a homer.
Hey, look at this guy. He says, quit kissing Calgary's ass.
Who are we talking to? I think he's talking to you.
I know. Well, I don't know who he's talking to, probably, but we don't have our green dog.
Nobody's kissing Calgary's ass. Wait a minute, Brian, and I know this guy. He's a good guy. He's saying that we need to stop saying how good Calgary is. No, you need to open your eyes and realize how good they are. That's what you need to do. Because the road to the Grey Cup's not only going to run through Calgary, it's going to stop in Calgary.
Well, can we beat Calgary and finish first?
Oh, there's a tough one. Right now, I you know, the Winnipeg has to beat Calgary in Winnipeg. I don't think they're going to beat Calgary in Calgary.
Right.
So that's what we have to wait for. But the thing is, to Brian, yes, we can upset in one game in the Western Final. We can upset Calgary, and let's hope for terrible weather, because I think we'll do better in terrible weather. But yes, in a one-game shot in the playoffs, there's John Lipp over there.
Oh, I know.
Anything can happen come November for sure.
So, this is what we're going to do. Note to the guys in the back. We're going to take a break here. Lynch is going to the Old Boys Club lunch. It's called the Softy Lunch, and his ride is here to pick him up. I referred to Lynch earlier this morning as the Queen of England. He gets picked up at his home. He gets driven to his home. You didn't like that. What?
I took you off guard, so you took me off guard.
It's Jay. Limp gets it. He says in the corner. Any last words? The last word with John Lynch. That was the name of his.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders will win this game tonight, 38-18.
38-18?
Right.
You predicted 40-18 last week that the Riders would win.
I changed my mind.
You changed your mind. Okay. You want to put a camera on Lynch as he leaves? Because this is always entertaining, too. You want to wave to everybody?
Bye. See you next week.
John Lipp's a good driver. John Lipp's a good driver.
Let him walk in front of the camera.
No, my pants come out.
He is a treasure, an absolute treasure. We'll get to your comments some more when we come back. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Both of you. The two Johns, I call them. Lipp's Limousine Service. And Peterson's Taxi in the morning. We'll be back. It's Football Friday. And when we come back from the BC Lions Den podcast, Brian Warishin. It is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. On this Friday morning, it is a Football Friday edition. It's been fantastic. David Ridgway was on the program earlier today. He doesn't care for my idea of unretiring numbers.
No, I wouldn't.
He didn't, his number he didn't care for that. Norm Fong agreed, by the way. Fongo wrote in. Fongo agrees with me. And also, Tory Gurley was on for his hot storylines the rest of the way in the CFL regular season, plus NFL talk leading up to the trade deadline in the National Football League. And now, it's our honor to go out to Vancouver from the BC Lions Den podcast, Brian Warishin, who's no stranger to the program, dare I say a fan of the program. They are home to the Riders tonight. We're going to preview the game. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing excellent, Rod. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate
it. All right. Well, can't get enough talking football with you. And after what you've done for our program, man, you have an open invite here. Obviously, you'll be at the game because you're very proud of the fact that you don't bail on your team. What is your take, Brian, on tonight's matchup, Riders and Lions?
Well, you know, I think it's time for the Lions to see who wants to be here next year. Unfortunately, last week it was a lot of buildup, and that buildup ended very quickly when Mike Riley went down early in that game. That was basically our season done. So, you know, tonight I'm just looking forward to seeing who wants to be here next year. And, you know, I think it's going to be probably a ride or win. I don't see the BC Lions winning this game tonight, but I want to see compete. And, you know, just like I said, who wants to be here next year?
Please tell me how, and you watch every game, that Mike Riley's been sacked 52 times to lead the league. He won't set a record now because he's out. The team might, but still lead the league in passing. How does that happen?
He's Mike Riley, and he's got Brian Burnham with him. So, look, Mike is undisputably the toughest player in this league. I don't think you can question that. You look at the beating this year, and it's just incredible that he was the only starting quarterback that was still standing as he was. You know, look, it's kind of scary to think about what Mike could do if he actually had an offensive line in front of him. So Ed Hervey's really got to work on that in the offseason and try and fix that, because it's a waste having Mike Riley if he's just going to be on his back, you know, for most of the season. So look, he's got Brian Burnham. He's got some, he's got Lamar Durant. Who knows what Ed Hervey's going to do in these? And everybody talks about, well, the Lions have no money to spend. Rod, you know as well as anybody that contracts in the CFL aren't worth the paper that they're written on. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be big changes here again with a lot of salary structure, restructuring and things like that. So I'm expecting Ed Hervey to go and fix problems that existed this year, and Mike should be even better next year.
You know, we've all seen it before where a team is eliminated from the playoffs, and then for whatever they have left on their schedule, they play the best football of the season.
It happens.
Is there any chance of that happening?
I really don't think so. I'm not sure Danny O'Brien is the guy that can get that done. Our defense may rise to the occasion and provide some problems for the Riders tonight. But, you know, I think on offense right now, the Lions probably don't have to pull that kind of a win off. But I do expect them to come out and play hard. I mean, they've talked about it all week, about playing the role of the spoiler. And, you know, this is our stadium. They want to play well at BC Place in front of the fans here. And I think that's important, too, because it's been a rough year for BC Lions fans, and there's some hope. And I think we saw that in the 4-game winning streak. The Lions played very well despite the opposition they were playing. You can only play who's in front of you, but they did play well in those 4 games. And unfortunately, it all came to an end in Edmonton, or else this would have been a big game tonight for them. But, you know, I think that, you know, you just have to come out and play your hardest. And I'm not sure that they have it in them to play that type of game, though, tonight.
Oh, we'll see Danny O'Brien. Like, this is his third team of his career. Anything I've seen of him so far, to be honest, hasn't been that great. So it's really time for Danny O'Brien to show up. Or why has he been here for the number of years he's been here? He's got to show something here tonight from a Lion perspective, I would think.
Yeah, well, I think he was brought in because Mike was familiar with him, and Ed was familiar with him from Edmonton. And obviously, like you say, this is his chance to show what he can do. The Lions did sign Brandon Bridge this week. I don't expect he'll see any action tonight, or, you know, even in the last game against Calgary. I'm not sure if he's got enough time to get into the lineup, but you know, I can see him maybe getting in against Calgary just for the Lions to take a look at him. But you guys would know more about Brandon Bridge than me, and I'm hoping that you know, maybe he can get a chance to show something as well, even if things don't go well tonight. I'm not sure he's been here long enough. Grant Kramer might come in. He had a strong preseason for the Lions, but hasn't seen the active roster this year. So it's going to be Danny O'Brien's game tonight, and we'll see how he does.
You know, Brian, these are things that I love to go for a coffee with you and talk about all this, because this isn't enough time. But what I know about Brandon Bridge is he's very similar to Daron Carter. Those of us that know those two very well, we're all waiting for them to reach their potential, right? And I'm hoping this is the stop, that it clicks for Brandon Bridge, because God knows he's had enough. And Daron Carter is similar. I was looking at his numbers this morning. I think it's 589. Daron's nowhere near 1,000 yards, and he should be the best receiver in the CFL every year. So what's your take on the season that Daron has had with BC? Because you're very active on Twitter. You saw him openly throwing bouquets at Devon Claybrooks after the Edmonton game last week, almost like, please include me in this team's future. I think Daron loves it there, but is it reciprocal?
I think Daron does love it here, and I know his teammates love him as well. I mean, there's been a lot of talk on social media, and it's mostly from who judge Daron Carter based on his past, But I can tell you, talking to guys in Lalji and Giulio Caravetta, he has not been a problem on this team this year. His play on the field is another story. But I'm not sure how you can really judge Jerron Carter when, you know, the Lions offense was really struggling for the first 10 games of the season because Mike Riley had no time to throw the ball. Obviously, Brian Burnham's had a strong season, but he's the primary receiver on this team, and that's not going to change. But when you get down to the secondary and third, fourth receivers, you know, those are the kinds of guys, those are the guys that have to have time to develop their routes. And when the quarterback's getting sacked so much, they don't have that time for Mike to go through those reads. So I think Deron was a victim of early failures by the offensive line. I think in the last five games or so, he started to play better. What I don't like about Deron is the talking on the field. He almost cost the Lions a game before the Edmonton game with his trash talking on the field. And we saw him again in Edmonton getting involved in skirmishes. That stuff's got to stop because it hurts your team. And, you know, if Deron Carter is liked by his teammates, if that stuff continues, you know, that's going to put him out of favor with his teammates as well. He's spoken about how much he loves it here, how much he loves playing for Devon Claybrooks because he tells it like it is and lets people be themselves. But, you know, what Deron's making and what the Lions need on offense, I'm not sure he will be back next year. He's only on the one-year deal. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Ed Hervey tries to bring in a guy like Darrell Walker to reunite with Mike Riley, who will be a free agent this year. I know Toronto wants to re-sign him, but whether Walker wants to stay there is another story. So there is ways to shift the roster, and I'm not sure if Deron is going to fit into those plans or not.
Hey, last one for you, Brian. I understand David Braley was on Vancouver Radio this morning at TSN with an ownership update, and I don't know what came out of it. I'm not sure if you are aware of that interview or where things are at with the Lions ownership change, if there will be one, and if there is, what do you think that'll do for the team?
Well, I think it's absolutely necessary that the team is sold. This team cannot continue under David Braley because he's an absentee owner. And I will praise David Braley till the day I die for what he's done for the Canadian Football League and what he's done for the BC Lions. But the time has passed for him to sell this team. I'm hoping that we get local ownership. I am aware of the interview that was on TSN 1040 this morning. I haven't had a chance to listen to it. But I hear there are five or six different parties interested, including Francesco Aquilini, who owns the Vancouver Canucks and Canucks Sports Entertainment. That would be my preference as a new owner because I think the cross promotion and the media machine that the Canucks can bring as owners would be beneficial for the BC Lions. But I'm really hoping it's local ownership. I'm hearing that there's a couple of interested parties from outside the province, including one in Saskatoon. I don't know the name of that person, but maybe that was on the interview this morning. You know, I think that it's a necessity for sure. This franchise needs to go in a different direction, a new, fresh direction, and it needs fresh ownership with new ideas, modern ideas to try and get fans back in the stadium. And, you know, I'm really, really hoping that that gets resolved before the season starts next year and early in this offseason because we can't go into next season with you know, uncertainty at the ownership position.
Brian, awesome chat, awesome update. Hopefully you get an awesome game tonight. Be sure to put a photo on your Twitter feed from the stadium because I'm going to steal it and give you credit. And thanks for all your support. I appreciate it.
Hey, Rod, can I just get one thing in here before you let me go?
Absolutely.
Every year at Grey Cup, CFL Fans Fight Cancer has a meet and greet, and I would just like to let everybody know that it's on Saturday at 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Melrose Cafe in Calgary. Since 2005, we've raised over $75,000 for cancer victims and for people suffering from cancer. And this year, Wellspring Calgary will get 100% of the proceeds from this. So if you're coming to Grey Cup, if everybody could come out and support that event, we'd really appreciate it.
Great initiative. Thank you, Brian. You did it. Thanks. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Rod.
Brian Warishin from the BC Lions Den podcast. Which sounds like a very Saskatchewan name, doesn't it? I used to say Warishin, and I guess he lived in Saskatoon for a while, but he's BC now. And there's your take on the game. But Donnie, I think with this BC Lions sale, David Braley's done a lot of great things for the CFL. We've talked about this 100 times, but it's time. Everything reaches its time, yep. And it's time. I still talk to a lot of BC Lions staff, and it's time. You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah. And local ownership is a big part of that. And if it's the Vancouver Canucks, I'm not a huge fan or proponent of these sports conglomerates. And I could give you a million reasons why, i.e., one ownership group owning the Flames, the Stampeders, the Hitmen, the Roughnecks. It's wrong. For a lot of reasons. They streamline the jobs. There's a lot less jobs for all those teams now because the Flames guys are selling the Stampeder sideline boards, right? You can kind of collude internally with your staff and push people around. There's no threat of going across the street and going to work for the other team. I don't like that. But as far as, well, and the other example is MLSE with the Leafs and the Raptors and the Toronto FC and the Argos, obviously. But it's financial stability.
That's exactly.
And at the end of the day, that's what wins.
That's right. I mean, I'd be very concerned if MLSE did not own the Toronto Argonauts. I mean, they have a vested interest in the Argonauts, and they have deep pockets. And the reality is, and I'm not an accountant, but the reality is they make so much money, you know, from their top teams like the Maple Leafs and the Raptors that they can actually use, I would think, losses with the Argos, as to their advantage in their taxes, tax write-off. And so, you know, it's like if the Canucks took over the Lions, that would be the number one reason, would be stability. The Canucks probably have the means, and the owner of the Canucks have the means.
You know they do.
To take an interest and keep the BC Lions going, even though right now they're losing a ton of money. And so I would be happy if the Canucks took them over just for that reason. I mean, you have, you know, you bring up some points about conglomerates, but at the end of the day, we want a 10th team in the CFL. We don't want to go down to 8. You know, that's basically the bottom line because, I mean, like Dave Ridgway said early in the show, this is the premier franchise in the league. I mean, they had in the game at home here against Winnipeg, you probably saw it, they had over 800,000 on TSN, and other games are getting 300,000. I mean, half a million difference. So we don't see here some of the issues that other teams are facing. We sort of see the top franchise here, but we don't get the really true sense of some of the struggles some of the franchises are having. So these conglomerates taking over teams in Vancouver and Toronto are fine. That's good.
It's the way to go for that reason. Ty writing in and says, if someone with deep pockets doesn't come in and save these teams, forget job competition, there won't be any jobs. And that is the sad truth. You're seeing it if you're paying attention. Look at the broadcast industry. Another wave of cuts by Sportsnet this week, including our good friend
this week,
Rick Dhaliwal, longtime Vancouver sportscaster, let go by Sportsnet, and he was very despondent. I spoke with him, and fortunately for him, within 24 hours, TSN picked him up. But it's that NHL contract that Sportsnet overpaid for, and now they can't afford to pay their good talent, so they're letting them all go. And as a blogger wrote on my website, Mike Stackhouse, if you can't afford to be in the business of broadcasting, don't be in the business of broadcasting. But we'll see. I hope the Canucks buy the Lions. I hope the Montreal Canadiens and Molson bought the Alouettes. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, but I thought that was just a given. That's a 6-inch putt. But these Lenkov brothers, they want to give it a try. So we'll see how that goes.
And you know what? I mean, they've already sold over 10,000 tickets, I believe, for Montreal's playoff game, and that's encouraging. That's great to hear.
Oh, yeah. Don, I appreciate you coming in today, man. It's always fun.
You really enjoyed it, and it's nice watching Lynch keeping his pants up.
He's always in a frenzy.
Yeah, that he is.
All right, Donnie, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight.
Same to you, Rod. Thank you very much.
Overtime segment coming up next with Dupes. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Football Friday on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln.
We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from, with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back for overtime, everybody. The puck is down. Brady in Saskatoon texting in, by the way, on legendary number 97s, or at least number 97s, on the 97th episode of the show. He says, Jeremy Roenick, as we mentioned, Nick Bosa.
Okay.
Geno Atkins of Bengals fame. Eddie Steele. We got to get Eddie on the air, by the way. I was thinking of him this morning. He's our Edmonton correspondent.
Yeah.
We need him on the Eskimos.
Sure.
Next Friday, Clark just told me in my ear. Guy always works a week ahead. Mm-hmm. Smart. John Chick, obviously, and Connor McJesus. Oilers home to Detroit tonight. Oh, yeah. Just taking care of some business. I wanted to read this joke from Perkin Taps. Mm-hmm. This is the best job. I don't know if it's the best job ever. It's the best job right now.
Yeah.
You know how much I'm enjoying this, and I thank you for putting this whole thing together, you and Paul. We have coffee every morning and treats and talk sports with our friends. And Perkin Taps brings these boxes loaded full of pastries, and they write a joke on every one. And I wanted, you said, to only read them if they're funny. So here's one.
It's got to be good.
6:30 is the best time on the clock. Hands down. For you kids that don't have a digital clock. 6:30 is the best time on the clock. Hands down. I like that. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. What?
That's funny.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah.
What have you been doing for the last hour when I've been out here with Lynch and Hewitt?
You know, working on the next pre-show. That's fun. I was doing that last night.
Tell people about that, because we're at the end of the show now. Wouldn't know.
Well, for those of you who weren't in at the beginning, we have, and if you do come at the beginning, you'll notice we have the countdown clock on, and we start the show, but we give you 3 minutes to get in here, right? We don't want you to miss the warm-up. We don't want you to miss what's going on, so we give you 3 minutes. Well, I started thinking, what are people doing? They're going to see this. They're just going to sit there and watch. And I'm like, what happens when I get to the movie early? I watched the Cineplex pre-show with Tanner Z.
Tanner Zipchin.
Zipchin.
And it's, I know it's Tanner Z on
but
Twitter.
No,
yeah.
Zipchin. And it's awesome. So I'm like, why don't we have the Rod Peterson pre-show? So sure enough, we did. And we had Mike Abumetric's new segment, A Booz Review. He's going to teach us how to watch football and how to break down some plays, which is going to be fun. And he'll do kind of wacky Abu things. And there'll be all kinds of content in there, hopefully, as we start to expand it. We had a little trivia question in there, too. Just give people something to talk about, chat
about.
Just
like a movie.
Just like a movie. Give you something to do before the movie starts.
That's the pre-show when you get in the queue before the show starts every single day. I thank our social media advisor, Ty Dacu. Breaking news from via Sportsnet, Darren Helm has been fined $5,000, the maximum amount allowable under the CBA for slashing the Flames' Elias Lindholm last night. So there's breaking news from the National Hockey League. Sean writes in and says, from Saskatoon, he says, is Tuesday going to be an all-day hockey day for number 99? You're just going to have to tune in and find out. How about that?
Yes.
For our Canada West football friends over there, Canada West, I know the Rams are at UBC or at Alberta on Saturday in a must-win game.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about in Canada West football?
You know what? The Rams are still alive. That's the big thing.
Well, must-win. One loss on the road.
Yeah, but they've got a favorable schedule. They played Alberta really tight, came down to a last-second missed field goal, or they would have won. When it comes down to a team that's 1-5, the Rams are only minus 25 in the points differential. Like, that's insane. But they've been in every game. And now they're getting Josh Donnelly back, their star quarterback. They got a shot. And that last game of the year against Manitoba could be for all the marbles to see who gets into the playoffs. So that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to the Rams this week. And the Huskies are back up to number 3 in the
Canada.
Yeah,
they're
West.
All excited and should be.
National poll. They should
Laval
be excited.
Laval and Mac ahead of them?
Or yeah, Laval and Western.
Western.
Western's 1, Laval's 2, and there's the Huskies in 3, which is exciting. And for Calgary, the Dinos didn't have Adam Sinagra back, their quarterback last week, but Josiah Joseph passed for over 300 yards. Wondering if Adam Sinagra is going to be back in the lineup this week, if he's going to be healthy again. So that's what I'm looking at.
Good. We had to get the Canada West in.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got a note from the coach of the Regina Thunder junior football program, Scott McCauley. I don't want to give out his phone number, but the last 4 digits are 9911. I just popped into my head. He always said Gretzky Messier. 5-3 blank Gretzky Messier. They are home Sunday to the Huskies, right? Edmonton Huskies?
Yes.
And a PFC semifinal.
I'll have the call of
are you
that,
calling
one
that one
on television. And I think
what is your weekend
on Facebook? To be honest, I've got a pretty good weekend. Most of it's off, which is awesome. I'm coaching hockey now with my cousin's kids team, the initiation, the really small guys. So our first hockey practice is early Saturday morning. And then I'll be prepping for the Thunder and Edmonton. They beat Edmonton at Mosaic early on in the year in a very, very good game. They had that wild comeback. They were great defensively. But this game's at Libel. It's going to be great. The atmosphere is awesome.
All their games should be at Libel.
They should be. Weather's going to be fantastic. I'm hoping that it holds up. And Edmonton's a really good team. So I'm really excited for that football game.
Yeah, me too. Well, for me...
Yeah.
Seafood supper tonight at Deer Valley Golf and Estates. I'll tell you how it is. Seafood, rocktail lobster, going with Peanut Butter Pete.
Okay. Take
and,
pictures.
I will. And then we're going to watch the Ryder game. And then tomorrow, I'm going to Arcola, Saskatchewan with Matthew Barnaby and Andre Waugh. Two guys I've never met. I'm going to be driving them. So we're really going to get to know each other.
That's going to be fun.
Driving to Arcola and then driving home right after the dinner. If you're in the Arcola area... Come on out for the fundraiser for the community. Matthew Barnaby, Andre Waugh, and me. And then Sunday, yeah, probably going to take in the Thunder game.
Good.
So next week, from producer Clark here, the best guest booker in the business. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. From producer Clark, Drew Willey, Adarius Bowman, who announced his retirement yesterday. Mike Hogan, the voice of the Argos. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith. You want to be watching for our special 100th mystery episode, which I don't even know what's going to go down. It better be big if you're teasing it like this.
Mystery episode, okay.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, that's new.
Clark's all over it. Tampa Bay Lightning assistant general manager, Al Murray, right here in the bunker.
Cool.
And he's also the head scout of Hockey Canada. Al Murray in the bunker from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Phil Andrews, the voice of the Regina Pats, one of the best human beings roaming the planet. Jackie Perez from CTV. Carlo Colaiacovo from TSN Toronto. Eddie Steele and Colby Armstrong. Whew. Nothing wrong with that.
That's a good list.
And that's all in just 1 week. A reminder, by the way, and you might want to pull your microphone out and pull out your headphones, because Eric Ellis writes in from just down the Trans-Canada. He says, Saskatchewan Rush training camp starts in 2 weeks, November 1st in Saskatoon. Remember Brandon Urban's bold prediction. It was a BUP, a bold urban prediction that the Rush would win the NLL championship this year. He guaranteed it right on this show.
Yeah.
And then they sent gifts. Can you grab that thing?
Yes.
I don't mind. You run and get that. If you got to run in front of the camera, you do it. I think we need to do a poll question on this. And that is, so the Rush send down an autographed jersey and they get the Great Western guys to deliver it. No, hold it up. Hold it up.
I'm going to.
So that's a jersey. But it's in a frame, which you went to Michael's and got yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I admire the initiative, but you'd never know that was a jersey. It's pretty cool.
I know. Very cool.
Are we going to leave it in that, or are we going to put it in a box?
Well, we're going to see. I didn't. It was just the first draft, so it's not folded properly. We got to get rid of some of the creases.
But then you know that it's a jersey.
But yeah, wanted not to get pillow. This in there and wanted it to look like a jersey. I tried to make sure we folded the shoulder patch on here. So that's good.
You did a great job. Well, that's what I texted you. Not bad. But you don't know that it's a jersey.
Nope.
So.
Nope. Special jersey.
And it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. Absolutely. So thought it wanted to get it in something right away and get it up on the wall here in the bunker. And I mean, we love the Rush and the their partners and our partners at Original 16 Great Western. It's exciting. It's a great gift. And it's signed by everybody. Chris Corbeil, the captain, wears 16. And on the back, it says Original 16.
Yep.
That's his number. So he wears it as his warm-up sweater, which is awesome.
Every game. And by the way, last call for tickets for October 26th, Experience Talks at the University of Regina. Learn about leadership and managing change from Canadian Football Hall of Famer Jim Hopson. I'll be there talking addiction recovery and mental health. It's 10 till 3 event. It's the day of the NHL Heritage Classic. Only $50. You'll see my presentation for an hour, Jim's presentation for an hour. We'll have lunch, then a hot stove Q&A on our time with the Riders. Get your tickets today on Eventbrite. Or by visiting emjmarketing.com. Last call for tickets. We got to get out of here. Well, aside from people checking in now, the boys from the Unofficial Pats podcast say get a jersey case. I'm kind of thinking that.
We'll see.
You're not offended if I say that?
Of course not.
Okay, good.
Of course not.
Okay, you have a great weekend.
You too.
You too, everybody. And we'll see you here Monday, 10 a.m. on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.